Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. You know, I glanced at something in the Word this morning. I can't remember where it was. I think it was in Ezekiel. And it said there was a man who was saying, you know, I'm young in years and I hesitated to speak to my elders because I thought, you have the understanding, you have the wisdom. But it's a man with the spirit of the fear of the Lord in his life that has understanding and knowledge and wisdom. And so to see young Christians and people that are just, you know, haven't been in church long to start praying, us mature or have been longer in the faith, we need to see that, observe and say, encourage it. You know, we really need to encourage it. I think that's one of the things that where pride can come in is when you see someone younger than you getting ahead of you. It's like, well, just slow down a wee bit, but we should encourage it. Encourage it. Get every young Christian in your life group, in your church, tell them to come on now. You know, we're going to pray. Keep on going. So it's good. Amen. So I hope you enjoyed this last week's one. I know you're going this week. You're going into intercession, the intercession series or session. And you're going to be asking God on behalf of other people and situations in other parts of the world and places. I know I've seen a little bit of the workflow through that session, and it's really good. So intercessory prayer is vital. Not just for us here in Kawinning, but for things that are going on the other side of the world. We need intercessory prayer. We've had so many miracle reports of intercessory prayer being responsible for huge changes in what happens in other places. And so we need to remember that. I was reading about one of the revivalists back in Wales in the, I think, 1930s, something like that. I'm trying to remember if I get his name right. I think it was Evan Jones or Evan Davies. I'm not quite sure. Both good Welsh surnames. And he was an intercessor, and he prayed, and he went around preaching these four-point sermons. Thousands of people came to know Jesus through these simple sermons. But he eventually stopped going around and doing the sermons, because he said that I can achieve more through intercessory prayer than I can by actually going physically to places. And so what he did was he got other people to go and take the sermons, and he interceded in prayer, and the people kept coming to the Lord. So intercessory prayer is that powerful. Amen. So, it also unlocks unlocks the door to working in partnership with the Holy Spirit, because God wants to work with us. And so, a partnership is something that doesn't end when you put the light out at night. And, you know, when you're a partner with someone, you're a partner with them 24/7. It doesn't stop. You know, I've a business background and with business partnerships and that. It doesn't when the business closes at 5 p.m. or 5:30 in the afternoon, the partnership keeps on going. The work keeps on going. The agreement, the unity, the vision, everything keeps on going. So God wants to partner with us. And last week we heard that God wants us to really live. To really, really live. He wants us to not just exist, but he wants us to live an exciting life. Is anyone here ready to live an exciting life? Amen. 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 And so the title of this message this morning is called Satisfied with Life? Satisfied with Life? And how sometimes you hear a phrase that sticks with you, you'll never forget it until the day you go. Well, when we were going through men's mentoring years ago, I read a statement in one of Dr. Ed Cole's book that I've never forgotten. And it says that disappointment is not based on what you find, but on what you expect to find. Disappointments aren't based on what you find, but on what you expect to find. That's important. So I'm sure we've all had a view or a picture in our mind of what we expect to find when we arrive somewhere. Okay? Sometimes that view is portrayed in a brochure, a glossy color brochure. I know, like, my gran goes lots of places on holiday. I'm sure that you've seen lots of color brochures, gran, and it's like, oh, that looks nice. I can't wait to get there. And then you're hoping that when you get there, that it lives up to the brochure, you know? But sometimes these things are portrayed in a picture, or in the case of God's word, you know, these scenes are painted with words, you know. So we know that God has a destiny, a plan, and a purpose for us, and He explains it in there, describes things to us in there, so that so that we know what to expect. It's not like a travel agent's tourist brochure. I think this will far out exceed anything that we can think of. Whereas with the travel agent's brochure, you take your chances a wee bit. We've been to some places, haven't we, honey? You know, where you're, you know, no, we need to change rooms, or no, we need to change hotel, or let's just get out of here, you know. So, and similarly, if you've set out on a venture and you're going through a process of things, okay, and the reality of what you're experiencing going through that is very different to what you thought it would be. What do you feel like? Well, this is not. I feel let down. I feel disappointed. It's not working out quite the way I thought it would or I want it to. And so I'm sure every single person has experienced that, right? So I remember Pastor Mark and I and some of the youth, we were down in years and years ago, down in the border somewhere, and we needed accommodation for a night or two. Maybe it was just one night. And so we were going to stay in a youth hostel, all right? So a youth hostel is basic accommodation, all right? But I mean, it's okay for a night or two, all right? So the boys, because, you know, well, where are we going to stay, you know? And of course, they all want to stay in a nice place. But a youth hostel is kind of basic, you know, but bearable accommodation. And when we got there and we got all our stuff out and we got into the bunk room, then it was time to go and do our evening ablution. So we go to the washrooms. And it's that kind of plastic stuff that covers everything wall to ceiling. And there were slugs and bugs from basically floor to ceiling. They had, the light inside had attracted thousands of insects. And of course, when the guys went in there, it was like they just freaked out, you know. It was like, man, this is just not what we expected, you know. And so you have all of these experiences. You know, we went to a hotel in Oban once, and there was a gap in the sash window that you could have put a rugby ball through, you know, and it was like, and we had like, oh, it's a short break. I think it was one of those getaway deals, and it's like, oh yeah, let's go, and you build up this picture of what things are going to be like, and you get there, and the wind is keeping you up at night, you know, and so, you know, these things happen, but we get disappointed sometimes. Because our expectations are set at a certain place. Now, it's not wrong to have high expectations. We should, okay? So hopefully this little message will help. Now, here's one example from the Word on a huge disappointment. If you go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 21... Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, and I'm in the NLT, the New Living Translation. It says there, not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. That's a sobering passage of scripture. Sobering. This is what amazed me. We prophesied in your name. We even cast out demons in your name. We performed many, many miracles in your name. And yet, to get there and to be told there was something, there was a disconnect. Something was a disconnect. A lot of this message is what we did at men's meeting Friday morning. Sorry, guys, you're going to get it again. But there's a disconnect there somehow. So these expectations that they have, okay, God is going to say, and we all believe that he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. But this is telling us that we have to be careful. We want to avoid that disappointment, amen? So there's always opportunities for us to be disappointed, always opportunities for us to be downhearted, always opportunities for us to be unhappy about something. Always, every day opportunities. The problem is you can enter into a state of dissatisfaction, can last for ages, can just last for, you know, weeks, months, years, you know, Victor Meldrew style, you know. You just, you know, it's like this just continual dissatisfaction, downheart, disappointed. And so we lose our joy. We lose our happiness and we become unpleasant to be around, grumpy, morose, you know. So it's like, okay, we met Victor Meldrew in the Hilton in Glasgow one time. Remember that? We heard him before we saw him. He's not that grumpy in real life. And so there's this direct connection between happiness and satisfaction. Would you agree with that? Satisfaction is not smugness. Smugness, if you can imagine some guy in his lazy boy, you know, smug, you know. Smugness is really pride. It's taking pride in your own kind of achievements. You know, that's, you know, look what I've done. I've done all of this, and you get very smug. So be aware that smug and satisfied is different, okay? Very different. Satisfaction is the fulfillment of expectation. That is the dictionary definition, or one of them, of satisfaction. Satisfaction is actually the fulfillment of expectation. Isn't that amazing? If our expectations line up with God's purposes for us, satisfaction guaranteed. Our expectations line up with God's purposes for us, what he wants us to do, it's satisfaction guaranteed. Even drinking a bottle of ice cold Coke can't come close, you know? Have a Coke and a smile. One of my favorite adverts growing up, the you know, the ice cold bottle of Coke with the, and then, you know, and working in South Africa in the heat, that you just longed for that lunchtime bottle of Coke, you know, and it's like it just hits the spot. And satisfaction is like that. Satisfaction is something that just really hits the spot. It fulfills you. It fills your life up. And it feels as if everything is okay. Okay? God wants you to be satisfied. He wants you to have a life of fulfillment. Do you believe that? Yeah. Let me just give you another one of these anyway. Satisfaction is the fulfillment of one's wishes, expectations, or needs. Contentment, contentedness, content, all of these different things. And so this is why God wants our joy to be full, because he wants us to be satisfied, but he wants us to be satisfied in him, all right? These are the things that are important. To be satisfied in him. And if you go with me in your Bibles to John 16, verse 23, and it says there, and in that day you will ask me nothing. That's John 16, verse 23. In that day you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Ask, or as we are doing just now, pray. Ask, pray. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. It's interesting that it says that your joy may be full. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I've got an important point here. According to that scripture, prayer facilitates the fullness of our joy. Okay? In other words, the measure of my joy, personally, my happiness, it depends on how efficiently I engage my prayer gear. All right? My personal happiness level, you know, was, I remember that film now with Will Smith, In Pursuit of Happiness. Great, great, great film. You know, and he just kept on, keep on, keep on, knock back, get up, keep on, knock. My personal happiness level is linked to how effectively I pray. This is a revelation to me this week. It says to me that the amount of joy that I have is a reflection of how I pray. Because we should pray until what? Until our joy is full. Well, so when do you stop praying? We pray until our joy is full. So that's encouraging. That you know that, you know, sometimes we'll be in corporate prayer and we say, okay, let's come pray together for an hour. Sometimes it'll go over. Sometimes it'll be under. And pastors will say, well, we've achieved, we've broken through. We've prayed through what we needed to pray through. So we pray, this is saying pray until your joy is full. Amen? Amen? So the joy of the Lord is available, but it's another thing entirely to benefit from the joy of the Lord. And God's always inviting us into his joy. He's always inviting us into his rest. He's always inviting us into his mercy. It's a bit like, actually, I prayed a little bit of this morning. Joy is available. But we have to take it. Like many things, we have to take it. And so, you know, like we prayed this morning, not everyone benefits from God's mercy, even when it's present. Yeah? It's like blind Bartimaeus. Here's a blind man, and there's hundreds and hundreds of people around. But he did something in faith that he was the benefactor of the presence of God and God's mercy at that time. Hundreds of other people were there. But it shows you, and like the woman with the issue of blood, same thing. She benefited from that. Amen? They accessed God's mercy. The woman with the issue of blood knew that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, she would be healed. So it's like that was her access route. That was her access. Yeah. So prayer connects to joy. Prayer connects to mercy. Prayer connects to rest. How many of us need rest? I've actually got my afternoon planned out, and we're going to go and have coffee, and then I'm going to sleep for the rest of the day because I said I need rest today, so we need rest. But prayer connects us to what we need, okay? Prayer connects. And remember, last week we spoke about attitude. Attitude has a lot to do with it as well. So I want you to go in your Bibles to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 10, please. Philippians 4, verse 10. And it says in Philippians 4, verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Because I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. I believe that Paul wasn't a disappointed man. I believe that Paul, you know, even though the Holy Spirit was showing him, you know, go this way, Paul was a man directed by the Holy Spirit. All of those travels, even taking him to the prison and to the beatings and everything else, I don't believe Paul was ever disappointed. And, you know, look at what he went through here. And so he had a great attitude. He must have had a great attitude. And wherever he went, you know, we're going to come back to this at the end a little bit just for tithes and offerings. But Paul, there were not many people looked after Paul, but the church at Philippi did. And that was a very important thing, actually, that they looked after Paul. And time and again, they looked after him. Because Paul says in the Word that not many people did, you know. So it's very special. But he had a great attitude because, you know, sometimes when we feel that no one really cares about us and no one's really looking after us, we get a bad attitude about it. And Paul's like, listen, it's okay. I know who my source is. I'm very content. I'm thankful for what you are giving me because I know it's not so much for me, but it's for you. It's for your benefit. What a great attitude. So anyway, if you go on then to Acts chapter 17, verse 24, and we'll go through to verse 29. Acts chapter 17, 24. And in this particular scripture here, Paul's addressing the men of Athens. He's gone there, and as he's walked up the street, he's seen all of these idols and all of these gods. You know the story? And then he gets to the one thing that it says, to the unknown God. To the unknown God. So this passage of scripture is in Acts 17, and it says in verse 24, he is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs. For he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Though he is not far from any one of us, for in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. That's why, okay, it's so important to stay connected to God. Because according to this here, it says that we live and move and have our being in him. If we don't stay connected, then we are not in him. Then we are our living and our doing and our being and our it's gone. All right. That's why last week we placed so much emphasis on examining our hearts, because we've got to begin at the heart. So we're doing a little bit of a, maybe some of us last week were doing a bit of a heart bypass there were some, you know, things that we had to do there. But this is, so that's why we were emphasizing that, because it's important to know that we to be most effective in our lives, we must live and move and have our being in him. Okay. So, and not get sidetracked, because there are illusions or delusions, okay, that sometimes seem good and exciting, but can bring us back down to earth with a huge bump. So be careful what you set your eyes on. Be careful what horizons you set your eyes on. Make sure that they are horizons that you've set up in partnership with God. And you're going there together, All right? So, amen? So, so here's something that can sometimes happen. Some people adjust their expectations so that they won't be disappointed. So they say, I'm just going to have no expectation or low expectation. And that way, it's going to be fine. You know, I just won't have any expectation. And that way, I'm not going to be hurt. I'm not going to be disappointed and all of this thing. And I think that from a Christian point of view, I think that's one reason why many Christians accept living life on a level way below where God, that God hasn't, God's intended something for you, but because you don't want to be disappointed or your hopes dashed, you live life, we live life on a level that's much lower than God would have us live on. He wants us, you know, we want to avoid the pain of disappointment. And that's not good. And people will say to you, you've had it before, you don't understand, I've been let down too many times. I've been let down time and time again, and I'm not going again. And what happened last week? What did we read last week? Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on, keep on, keep on. But you don't understand, I've been let down so many times. This person has let me down so many times. It's been going on for years. Or this church has let me down. Or whatever has let you down. This laptop has let me, so anyway, you understand where I'm coming from, but we got to keep on, yeah? But if we pray for a view that only God will give, right, dreams or visions in our hearts, then provided we don't spiritually disconnect from him, we won't be disappointed. So when God gives you a dream, a vision, or a view, and we stay connected in the spirit, our prayer life is vital, all right? We have a vital prayer life. It's healthy. Then we won't be disappointed. I believe it. I declare this morning that we won't be disappointed. We won't be disappointed. Amen? So it's important we stay connected. Has it ever occurred to you that God might have plans for you in the places where you least expect it? All right? We're talking about being satisfied with life here this morning. All right? God might have plans for you in your place of work, down at the gym, walking the dog down the park, in the supermarket. God has got plans for you. Amen? So, in all of that, and remember last week we spoke about the guy who looked back on his life and figured out that he only lived life, really lived life, for like 25% of his life. I started looking and thinking about how much of our time on earth would we consider a spiritual write-off, where we were spiritually disconnected or the time was wasted, okay? Sometimes we have a very narrow-minded view of what God's work is for us to do, and we only try and operate spiritually in that very narrow slice of what we think God has for us. But can I tell you this morning that you have a whole life that is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. Everything that you do, there's a plan and a purpose in it. Do you believe that? We think one of the problems that we, and I've wrestled with this myself. I think that, you know, there's some aspects of my life that are they're non-spiritual. And God, and I believe the Holy Spirit's correcting me and saying, no, David, your whole life is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. Everything, you know. And we were having a laugh about this because I said to the guys, I says, you know, women are like stir fry and men are like airplane food. And so it's like, oh, it's like you can imagine stir fry. It's like noodles and spices and bits of meat and vegetables, and it's all together and it's all fiery and zesty and everything. And then you get your airplane food and it's in little plastic compartments. Some of it's kind of frozen, some of it looks like cardboard, and you know, and you know, sometimes, and we were talking from a men's point of view, of course, and if you've never seen it before, and you can YouTube Mark Gunger, because he does a wonderful presentation on the difference between a man and a woman's brain. And but, you know, sometimes we try, and I do this, I try and neatly compartmentalize my life. And sometimes I feel the Holy Spirit saying, just be a stir fry. Just everything is important. Everything is spiritual. You know what I mean? So, because we can assume by mistake sometimes it's only things that are connected to the church or to ministry that are spiritual. That's a trap we can fall into. We think it's only this time that's a spiritual time. Life group's a spiritual time. Church on a Sunday is a spiritual time. So what we've got to remember is everything was created for God's glory. Everything. And life could be so much more satisfying if we just recognize the value, the real spiritual value in everything we do. There's that word satisfaction. When we recognize the value in everything that we do, all of a sudden, satisfaction seems more achievable. You know, if we're only waiting for the one big cruise a year for the satisfaction or the holiday or the sabbatical that's going to, forget about church, life group, and God for 3 weeks. If we only knew, ding, it's me. It's like, yeah, like we're off 3 weeks. Ching. I've clocked out. Ching. But if only we, you know, and if that's your satisfaction hit, then we're making a mistake. We're making a big mistake. Amen. So, because all of life is spiritual, we see things through a spiritual lens sometimes, and you know, it's like Sundays or life groups see those times through a spiritual lens, and then it's like the lens come off. And so, you know, there isn't actually a switch, because we're talking about this switch. There isn't actually a switch that you can switch off that disconnects us from the source of our being, even though we'd like to think so. We're never disconnected from God spiritually. We're never disconnected, because he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's in us, he sees through us, he knows our hearts, he knows everything, and we think we can just do the switch. We can never do this. We can't do the switch. There ain't no switch there. So, you know, I can't just park my spirituality on a Monday morning. You know, it's like, here we go. I'll just pull in here, and that's parked there until Wednesday afternoon. Life group, pull it out again, and off I go. Everything is spiritual. And the guys had a couple of wonderful illustrations on Friday morning, and Ian was talking about, you know, we put on the armor of God, but on a Monday morning, we don't ungird ourselves. We don't take it all off on a Monday morning, or do we? It's got to stay on. And I thought it was a great picture. You don't ungird yourself, you know. In a spiritual sense, you understand. I'm picturing a guy sleeping with like this big suit of armor on, like trying to get comfortable, you know. And then Lee had a great one. He said, you know, it's like he's seen it this way, and all of you have a different picture. He says it's like being dropped behind enemy lines with your commando or your troop, and there's a guy with the radio, you know, the radio guy, and then he disconnects from the airwaves. So that there's a disconnect there. There's they can't radio for help, and no one can contact them, and they're in no man's land, in combat, and there's no way of connecting. And so I'm like, yeah, these are very simple but effective pictures of what sometimes we do. Yeah, we're always spiritually connected, and I believe that the devil would have us become spiritual schizophrenics. He would love that. He's just like, you know what? You just live that parallel reality. Here's the problem with schizophrenia and I'm not an expert on this, and I'm sure there's people here that maybe are, but they have a disassociation between the rational side of their brain and the emotional side of the brain. So if any academics here, they could correct, but that's what I think. And so what they do is they live life navigating two apparent realities, okay? But one of them is false. One of them is false. I had a sales manager that drummed this into us. What did he used to say? Perception is reality or something. So whatever you see is whatever you believe is reality. So anyway, he kept on trying to drum this into us. And I guess there's maybe a little bit of truth in that. But you see, we live in real life. And so we don't want to be, that's what the Bible says. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And so we've got to be careful that we don't live under, and I was looking at a few synonyms for this, these false impressions, mistaken beliefs, things like that that go on. And so, if we disconnect, we run the risk of falling into that trap where, God's saying, this is your reality. This is my plan for you. This is my purpose for you. You're going to preach. You're going to go into the mission field. You're going to teach. You're going to do whatever. And then Satan would try and do something that disconnects us, that puts us into this place of spiritually parking up at times of our life when we should always be staying connected, amen? So we should always, amen. And I think this is a great message. We know we're always looking for ways to reach people. How am I going to get through to people? If you can start talking to people about satisfaction and fulfillment in life, I think they'll listen. How many people do you know in life that have issues with being fulfilled or being satisfied? Because we always got to be looking for ways and opportunities to bring the good news and not be the harbingers of doom, you know? It's like we're always looking for a chance or an opportunity where we can give the good news. Amen? So I think we can reach people with this. I think that we can start off at that place of, do you know that you can live a life and be satisfied and fulfilled, and then take that conversation from there and witness to them more. Amen? So, because some people don't have any satisfaction, just like Mick Jagger. He couldn't get any either. So we've got to tell people what God wants to do for them, first of all. Because people initially don't want to do anything for God. But if we tell them first, God, this is available to you, I think that's a good way of getting a conversation going, you know? So if you go in your word, if you go in the word to Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25 to 26. It says, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. That's a great scripture. It says to me, serve me, I will bless your life. I'll take sickness and lack far from you. You won't be barren. You won't have lack. Amen? I'll fulfill the number of your days. Speaking about fulfillment, it's like living a long life, a satisfied life. The title of the message is, Are You Satisfied? When do you know that you'll be satisfied? And we'll get to that just in a few minutes right at the end. So there's an old covenant promise, right? This is the old covenant promise to the children of Israel if they would stay faithful to serve God, okay? Now go in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. And it says there in Ephesians 6, 1 to 3, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Amen. That's the first commandment with promise. Honor your father and your mother. And I was going to say all the kids put your hand up, but we've actually, for all of us who still have our fathers and mothers, we keep on honoring them. Amen? Amen? You don't stop honoring your mom and dad when you turn 18 or 21 and you become an adult. You honor your father and your mother all the days of your life. All the days of your life. Because there's a promise in that. What's the promise? That it may be well with you and you'll live a long time on the earth. Do you think that God wants you to live a long time on the earth and be miserable doing it? He wants you to live a long time on the earth and be satisfied and be fulfilled. Amen? So that one in Ephesians, that's the new covenant promise to the church. If we obey and honor our father and mother. And in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, your fingers are doing the walking this morning, Eleanor. Thank you so much. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 says, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises. Amen. So if God would fulfill their days under the old covenant, right, and we have a better covenant than the old one, then surely God will fulfill our days under the new covenant, yeah? Or it wouldn't be better. So it's for now. Can we agree? This is for now. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, Galatians 3, verse 14, it says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Amen? So we have all of the blessings, amen, of the children of Israel, and we have more. Why do we have more? Because of Jesus. Because of the new covenant, we have more, and that includes long life, fulfillment. I love seeing people. I love seeing my mom and dad. I love seeing people in our church family going off and enjoying life, even when they're in their 70s, their 80s, and their 90s. It's wonderful to see that. That's my vision. I see that. We'll still be on the Harley in Europe somewhere. A bit crinkly, but we'll be there. We'll be out there. Sorry, honey. We're just going to keep on going, aren't we? We're just going to keep on going. Amen. So, but we know people, and we suffer, we endure grief, and we have hassle in our life. We always said in South Africa, don't give me hassle. Don't hassle me. You have plenty of hassle, you know. And people's days are cut short. On this earth, people's days are cut short, and God wants to fulfill the number of our days and give us fulfillment and satisfaction. God's best for you, right, is fulfilling your days. God's best is not that your days be cut short or that you don't have days of satisfaction. Amen. We live in a cursed world, right? Satan hates Christians. He hates us. I know I'll get an amen on that one. He's seeking whom he may devour. He prowls around like a lion, roaring, seeking who he may devour. The devil wants to shorten our lives on this earth, all right? Why? It's because we represent Jesus Christ on earth. And the sooner I can get rid of them, the better. He wants to cut our lives short, and God wants to satisfy us and give us length of days, amen? Because we are his body. And that's John 10:10 that says, the thief doesn't come to except to steal, to kill, to destroy. And I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Yeah? Hebrews 2:14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." Amen? And that's why when we die to ourselves and we connect with the work of the cross, with Jesus Christ, with our Heavenly Father, we've won the victory over death. Our days are not going to be cut short on this earth. Our days are going to be extended on this earth, okay? Because I've heard people say, you know, that when God calls your number, it's time up. The Bible doesn't say that. Can I tell you what the word says? All right? It says that we are appointed to die once. Okay? Everyone must die. But there's, you know, God hasn't got like, we will die once, but we have a choice in extending our days. Our days can be shortened or they can be lengthened. So if you honor your mom and your dad, your days will be lengthened. So there's not like, as far as I know, there's not a day, this is your day. The day is the day that you're appointed once to die. Do you see what I'm saying? That's in Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed for men to die once, after that, the judgment. And we think, well, okay, in Psalm 90, it says that the length of time God gave to Israel, okay, we're coming from Noah and Methuselah and all of these guys that lived for hundreds of years down to a place where God says, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, we know we can stand on that for at least 70 or 80 years. But remember, we have a better covenant. We have a better covenant. So we don't have to be satisfied with that. That's why I believe that, you know, what are the people that live to over 100? Are they octogenarians or are they centurions? Octo is eight, isn't it? Right, okay. So I'm going to finish with this here. In Psalm 91, verse 16, it says there in Psalm 91, verse 16, I'll just wait for it to come up. There we go. It says in Psalm 91, 16, "With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." Amen. So, it sounded there for a moment as if this message was going to end on a downer, but it's actually ending on an up, because it says that with long life, I will satisfy you and I'll show you my salvation. So what I want to ask you this morning is, how long is a long life? How long is a long life? Well, a long life is long enough for you to be satisfied. A long life is long enough for you to be satisfied. So if you're not satisfied yet, you've got plenty more living to do. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, thank God for his word this morning. That was it. Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.